Good morning.
It's good to see you all.
Good to see you all.
Rachel's home. It's good to see you, Rachel. And Susan, it's good to see you and your family here this morning, too. Our prayers are certainly with you. We love you guys and know our hearts are knit with yours, so we love you. Let's pray this morning for our hearts. With all the stuff that's going on, we certainly need focus. There's a lot of things happening, but guess what? God is still on the throne, and He's still in charge, and we need Him to lead us because we don't know the way to go, but He does. So we want to trust Him. So Father, this morning we come, Father, with hearts that are sometimes hurt, hearts that are sometimes discouraged, hearts that are sometimes just in awe of the one who loves us so much. But Lord, we always need focus. We always need your direction. We always need your presence with us. And thank you, Lord, that you're not going to leave us or forsake us for those that know you. But Lord, sometimes we leave you and we wander about till we realize that we've lost our way. But thank goodness we have a good shepherd that comes and gets us and carries us back to the place that we need to be, in that place of good feeding. So Lord, open your word to us this morning. Speak to us. We need your help, Lord. And we ask for your anointing and your word. Give us ears to hear, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 7, if you go there, I would have done a Christmas message, but since Dan texted me yesterday at 4 o'clock and said, hey, here we are. We're back in Revelation. So let's go to chapter 7. As you remember, the church is not there. Thank goodness that we're not going to go through this. If you're reading this morning and you don't know if you're going to be there or not, today's the day of salvation. You need to come because you don't want to go through this. You think things are bad now. It's nothing compared to what the wrath of God being poured out on the earth is going to bring. And we're going to see part of that this morning as he warns us, as he brings instruction to us, that we want to be careful to know the one who loves us. So starts out in chapter 7, and it says, and after these things, so John writing these things, remember, he's a man, he's in exile, he's on the Isle of Patmos in hard labor. I can't imagine being 90 years old and being in hard labor. It doesn't make sense to me, but the world is cruel and mean, and it does strange things to people. But John, just wanting to see the Lord, and the Lord, imagine, just opens up the door on this aisle where nothing else is going on but labor and pain and hurt, and gives him this wonderful revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ as he speaks to him and just ministers to his heart. Just what a gracious God we serve. And so the first six seals have been opened, and then there's kind of a pause. Is the Lord is going to do something special. And always take note of those things. And it says, and after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And so we see these things and we go, okay, what's up? You got four angels that are strong enough to hold back wind? Evidently. I tried to hold back the wind, and the older I get, the wider I get, the more wind I block, but I don't stop it. But these angels stop it. But then my mind goes a little nuts, because you know me, and I go, well, what are these angels' names? You know, Horace? Eugenia? I don't know. But there's four angels. But you know what the good thing is? God knows who they are. And this morning, you may be sitting there, and you may be holding on to something as these four angels were, You may be holding on to a family that's fallen apart, and you've got the only thread of hope. You may be the only one at work, and you're really discouraged because nothing's happening, but you're the only thread of light in that place. You may be holding on to physical issues this morning that are just dragging you down and discouraging you and bringing heartache to you. But you've got a thread of hope, and that's all that you're holding on to. Folks, hold on to it. Because He's your only hope. If you let go of the thread of Jesus in your life, you have no hope whatsoever. And you say, but I'm doing nothing for God. Folks, if you're holding on to that thread of hope, you're doing everything that God requires of you right now. Because you're trusting Him. And that's what He wants this morning, is for you to trust Him. These four angels, they may not have known why they're holding back the wind. But God knew. And you may not know why you're the only one at work. Why you're going through the pain that you're going through right now. But God knows. And He's going to be the one to sustain you and keep you in the midst of it. And we can be thankful that we've got a God that cares that much about us, that He would give us that thread of hope. And we trust Him. And so we've got these four angels. They're holding back the wind. Can you imagine if there was no wind outside? No movement. Remember those hot days in summer? When you just sat there and the wind was not moving at all. And you just... Quah. But this is for a time. As the Lord holds it back. And what it's really a picture of is that this seventh angel is going to come and open the seventh seal. The Lord is going to open the seventh seal. The seventh angel is going to come. And it's going to get 10 times worse than it already is. Remember, the Antichrist has ridden on his horse. He's come out to conquer the world. Death has come. Famine has come. All these things are already breaking out on the earth. And the earth is just in pain. You think COVID is bad. Here's a pandemic that there's no cure for. They aren't going to be able to ship out a vaccine for this one. The only vaccine, the only hope is Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus this morning, you need to know Jesus before you leave here. Because things are not going to get better in the world. We see that through Scripture. This is just the beginning of sorrows that are coming upon the earth right now. And things are going to get worse. The only way you're going to get through any part of this is to trust in Jesus and walk with Him. And so these four angels holding back the wind, amazing to me, so that it wouldn't blow upon the earth. Just a picture of them holding back the next plague that was going to come, the next event that was going to happen. And I saw another angel descending from the east, and here comes God's grace. There's always God's grace in the midst of everything. Even when He's pouring out His wrath, there's still grace. And thank goodness that the people that are still on the earth, those that don't know Jesus Christ now, because folks, if you know Jesus Christ right now, we're going to be raptured. We're going to be out of here. Right now would be really good. Because you got a 3-hour sermon ahead of you. So you might want to pray a little harder for it right now than you were before. But I saw another angel descending from the east, having the seal of the living God. The seal of God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. So they're holding back the wind, and once they let go of it, it's all going to break loose upon the world. Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. God wants to seal His people. The ones who He's chosen, the one who He's called, so that they're sealed. And the seal of God is on us for protection, to show that we're His. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, as He gives instructions to the church, he tells them to not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Folks, if you know Jesus Christ, you're sealed today. You may not see it, you may not know it, you can't go buy a scanner and have it scan or anything else, but God knows who you are, and He loves you, and He's going to keep you until that day of redemption. Then He's going to bring you home to be with Him forever, for all of eternity. And oh, I think the stuff that's coming on the world right now is just to encourage us to love Him even more, to walk with Him even more, because heaven is going to be so good when we see it, when we're in it, when we're walking through it, and just enjoying the presence of the Lord, standing before the throne of God, seeing the colors that are really what they're supposed to be. Because remember, even the colors of the world are tainted by sin right now. They aren't even as pure as what they were when He first made the earth. Just to be there in His presence. But you have a seal, God's grace upon you. Did you deserve it? Did you earn it? No way. Every heart is despitefully wicked. It's awful. We're desperately wicked above all things, aren't we? These hearts that just go in so many different places, and yet God seals us and says, "You're mine. I love you. I'm going to change you. I'm going to conform you to my image." And so He's going to do a work in these men that He's going to put this seal upon. And I heard the number of them that were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. So these people are going to be sealed. They're from 12,000 from each of the tribes of Israel. I know there's many groups out there, George Armstrong and the Worldwide Church of God and Jehovah's Witnesses that believe that they're part of the 144,000. But evidently they didn't read this portion of Scripture, because it says they're of the tribes of Israel. They're not Gentiles. They're Jews. Sealed by God for His work, for His purposes. And you're sealed for the same thing. For His work, for His purposes to be done in your life and through your life. So these 144,000 of the tribe of Judah were sealed, 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed, 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed, 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed, 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed, 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed, 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed, 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed, 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed, 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed, 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed, 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin there were sealed, 12,000. 144,000 people that were sealed by God. And we see these people again. Hold your place here. Go over to chapter 14, because we see these men who were sealed by God, not just for a little bit, but were sealed all the way through to chapter 14 here. God protected them. Because they were sealed, they weren't destroyed. Because they were sealed, God protected them and used them in the midst of things. We're going to see others that were God's, that had come to faith in God, that were martyred for their faith. But these 144,000 are there for a purpose, and their purpose is to be a witness in the world. Just like you and I, sealed by God to be a witness of God's love, God's favor in our lives. And we can have that. And it's amazing. Sometimes we get so discouraged and so upset at ourselves because of the things that we do. I haven't been enough for God. Guess what? You never will be. Because it's His work anyway. It's not our work. It's His work in and through us. But these men favored, protected, kept all the way through. Look at chapter 14. And it says, "I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. As John sees this vision of Jesus coming, and with the 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. That was the seal, the name of the Father upon them. And he sees this in a vision. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and the voice of great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are the only ones that are going to know that song. Can you wait to hear what that song that is? Oh, man. 144,000 voices just singing out. Oh, this is good. And these were they which were not defiled with women. So they're virgins, they're kept, they're protected. And these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and the Lamb, and in their mouth was found no guile, no hypocrisy, all truth, no guile in their mouth. Wouldn't that be wonderful? They certainly aren't politicians. I didn't say that, really. For they are without fault before the throne of God. So we see these 144,000. We see what they're going to do. We see what's happening. But they're chosen out of this time, 12,000 from each tribe. And these men are there. And God, by his grace, seals them before the destruction of the earth comes, before he pours out the rest of his wrath. He stops in the middle of it just to give the earth another witness that God is there, that God is working, so that those who are still on the earth, who aren't saved, will have a chance to come to salvation. It would have been much better if they came before. Remember as a kid how you wished sometimes that you didn't get in trouble because you knew what was facing you once you got home? You saw your father standing there. The strap was waiting. You knew you were going to get it. And you wish, I just wish I could have done something before I did that. These people are going to have that same heart. That's why it's so important for me, people to make a decision now for Jesus. And for our prayers to be for those who don't know Jesus, that they would see the love that God has for them, that they could come to faith and not have to go through this. This is awful. These men were sealed, 12,000 from each tribe. And in verse 10, back in Revelation chapter 7 here, it says, they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. God brings salvation. It's God's salvation. You didn't get saved, God saved you. You didn't find God, God found you, because he came to seek and to save that which was lost, and that was you and I. And he saved us. Why did he save us? Why didn't he save some good people in the world? Yeah. Don't know, but he saved us. And for that, we need to rejoice and be glad in it. And we can rejoice every day. We don't know why he saved us, but we know it's good. And we can be glad no matter how our day is going. We can still be glad because God is in it and he loves us and we're going home to heaven. Everything that we wanted is found in him. And so they cried out, salvation. God, you brought salvation. And they cry out and they're thankful. Oh, for our hearts to do the same. Have you prayed lately and thanked God for your salvation? Or is it something you don't even think about anymore? Oh, Lord, remind me of what your salvation means. Remind me of that hope that I have so that I can continue on through my days that you've given me. So these men are crying out. They're praising the Lord for what's going on. And then in verse 11 it says, and all the angels stood around about the throne, about the elders and the four beasts, the four living creatures that were there. and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. The angels, the four living creatures, the 24 elders that were there, these men renowned, and yet they were humble enough to fall down before the true and the living God. And sometimes, folks, our own hearts are there in that place, and we don't want to bow before God because we think we're right. And I'm going to make sure everybody knows I'm right. I'll tell them. Oh. And the older I grow in the Lord, the more I realize I'm not right about anything. The Lord just continues to humble me down. Thanks, my wife, the Holy Spirit, shows me all the time. Isn't it amazing how right we think we can be when we find out that we know absolutely nothing? I think the greatest thing we can learn as Christians is Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. If you know that, you got it. And hold on to it. And so the angels, all the angels, not just a couple of them, not just the ones who realized what was going on, but all the angels. Can you imagine? As the people are round about the throne and they see this event taking place, the angels falling down. We think of those angels as something else, man. We got Gabriel who announces the birth of Jesus. We got Michael, the archangel, fighting Satan. You know, I fought him for 3 weeks before I got to you, Daniel. And we think, wow, these guys are great. And yet, they fall down before God. The 24 elders, the pillars of the church, and we hold them up and esteem them, they fall down before God. And what do? They worship. And folks, worship is not always singing. Worship is a heart that is given to God. And out of it sometimes comes singing. Sometimes comes praise, but it always comes with thanksgiving. And look at what they say. We see what the 144,000 say. They say, salvation to our God that sits on the throne, to the Lamb. They're acknowledging who He is, and they're thanking Him for their salvation. Look at what these angels and the four living creatures and the 24 elders say. They say, amen. So be it. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Before His wrath is poured out, they're saying, amen, Lord. You're just, you're true in what you do, you're righteous in all your ways. Notice they don't say anything about salvation, though. It's the 144,000 that thank Him for the salvation. These men have been around the throne, these angels, these four living creatures, and they cry out, all blessing comes from You, God. All glory is Yours. Any glory that we have here is just glory that God has given us. Wisdom. It tells us in Proverbs, that great book about wisdom, especially the first 8-9 chapters, that the knowledge of the holy is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's just the beginning. We can grow in it. We can know it. They say all wisdom is Yours, and thanksgiving and honor and power and might. Seven things. The book of Revelation is full of seven things. Remember, seven churches, seven angels, just all of these sevens come about. These are seven things that the angels and the four living creatures cry out about. Lord, it's all about You. It's all about what You've done. And then they say amen again. They begin with amen, so be it. They end with so be it. It all comes to the Lord. And one of the elders answered me, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? I don't remember anywhere where John said, what are these guys? But he answers them, because he knows what's going on in his mind. He sees this next group that's coming about. One of the elders, one of those 24 elders, the pillars of the church that are hanging around the throne, just hanging around worshiping the Lord and praising him. Notice they take the time, they see John. Because John is in heaven. John, a type of the church, raptured up into heaven before the throne of God. While this wrath is being poured out upon the earth, we're at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And John, seeing all of this going on, and the elder takes the time to minister to him. You know what? Sometimes I get so preoccupied with myself and what I'm doing that I don't see the person next to me that needs a hug, that needs a word of encouragement, that needs to know about Jesus who loves him. And yet this elder, this man who's important, in our eyes anyway, takes the time to minister to John. He says, what do you think these guys are? I don't know. Sometimes the best thing to do with somebody to get them to talk about the Lord is to ask them what they think about it. And he does. He said, what do you think about these guys? I don't have a clue. I love John's honesty. He said, you know. I don't have a clue. In other words, you got it. I don't. You tell me. Great. I'll tell you. Jesus loves you. He says, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The white robes of righteousness that it tells us in Scripture that God gives to us. You don't earn it. You don't merit it. You come to salvation and he gives you a white robe of righteousness to come in to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Because without a wedding garment, you can't get into the wedding. Without being clothed in that white robe, washed in the blood of the Lamb, there is no entrance into heaven. And he says, these men have entered in. Their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's always been the same way. There's never been a difference. We need our sins forgiven. And there's only one way of forgiveness. And it tells us in Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And the blood that was shed had to be pure blood. And it was the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. Aren't you thankful today that you're washed in the blood of the Lamb? What a great song, isn't it? They came out of the great tribulation. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. So we see what these people are. We see what's going on. There's some things that are going to be happening. There's seven things that we're going to see here about these. They're before the throne of God. That is not you and I. Don't get confused about it. This is not you and I. These are saints who got saved in the tribulation time, who have come out of the tribulation through martyrdom, because if you're alive in that time and you get saved, you're going to be martyred for your faith. That's why it's better to go now than then. As one of my friends, another pastor, says, I'm allergic to pain. I just want to go easy. So I agree with him. Guillotines are not one of my favorite things. Especially if I'm on the receiving end of it. So they're before the throne of God. You and I are not there. It tells us in Revelation chapter 3 where we are. It says, to him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. We're set down in the throne in Jesus. these tribulation saints have a different job, have a different place in the kingdom than the bride of Christ does. We're the bride of Christ. These are our saints, and they're going to enjoy heaven. They're going to enjoy being there, but they have a different position. And that's okay. I'm thankful they're going to be there. And hopefully it's some of my family if they don't make it now. But they're before the throne. They're not on the throne like you and I are. They're before the throne. They're facing the Lord, facing the one who saved them. And they're there to serve, it says. And they serve him night and day. So the first thing is they're before the throne. The second thing is they're going to serve him day and night in his temple. They're going to serve him there. They're there to serve. We're there as the bride of Christ. They're there to serve. Different position, same blessing. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. So the third thing is, he's going to dwell among them. Just like he does with you and I now. He dwells in our presence. It tells us in John chapter 1 that he came and dwelt among us. He tabernacled among us. He came and ministered to us. And he's going to dwell among them. Those that have been martyred for their faith and probably worried that they missed the rapture, now what do we do? And they get saved, they get martyred, and it says that God is going to be with them, and he's never going to leave them or forsake them. The same promise that he gives you and I. I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Such great and precious promises that we have, that we can hold on to. God, in the midst of my pain right now, you haven't left me, and thank you, Lord, that you haven't. Because my pain is too great for me to take. But I know you can bring comfort to me. Lord, I've just lost my job. I have no way of providing. But Lord, I know that you haven't left me or forsaken me. God, my family's fallen apart. But you haven't left me or forsaken me. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Isn't it great to have that assurance that he's not going to leave you, that he hasn't left you, and that you can stand in the day that's before you? Sometimes we don't even feel like standing, do we? I just want to give up and lay down on a couch and veg and just die and go home. You know, I'm kind of like Elijah. Lord, kill me. Just get me out of my pain and get me home. And he goes, nah, I got more for you, and I've got strength enough to keep you in the midst of where you are right now. The fourth thing then, verse 16, they shall hunger no more. They were hungry before. They are hungering, and we've hungered and thirsted before, haven't we? And he says they're going to hunger no more. They're going to thirst no more. We hungered and thirsted because we had no truth. We had nothing of Jesus. We didn't know who the Lord was. We went from one thing to another. We went from drugs to alcohol, to sex, to politics, to whatever, trying to find something that was going to satisfy us. Politics is not going to help you. None of that is going to help you. You hunger and thirst after righteousness because you want what's right in your life. You don't want what's wrong in your life. You want what's right, and there's only one thing that's right, and that's that relationship with Jesus. Oh, Lord, it's your righteousness, and I'm not going to hunger anymore. I'm not going to thirst anymore because you're going to give me everything that I need. Notice it all comes from his hand, and it's all about him. It's not about us and what we're doing. It's about him. The fifth thing then, neither shall the sun light on them nor any heat. Amazing. He's going to cover them, almost like the pillar in the cloud when Israel was walking through the wilderness. And there's such a correlation that's in there between Exodus and this. It's amazing. These people have gone through. They were chosen by God. They were sealed. They were brought out by God out of the world into heavenly places. And while they were walking through the wilderness, what happened? There was a covering of a cloud by day so that the sun wouldn't smite them. A light at night so they could see their way. He fed them every day. I think it was 42 train car loads every day that it would take to feed that number of people. Can you imagine 40 years times 365? My mind can't do that anymore. I don't think it ever could, but it certainly can't now. But I can't even fathom the amount of food that the Lord poured out every single day just appeared for his people. And water coming out of a rock. Now, me and my intelligence would never go to a rock and try to suck out water. I don't think I ever got any. But God's ways are different than our ways. Amen. And it tells us in Scripture that the rock that followed them was Christ. The living water coming out to bless them and encourage them and hold them. So the fifth thing, the sun won't be on them, nor any heat. The sixth thing then, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. He's in the midst of the throne, and he's going to feed them and shall lead them to living fountains of waters. Oh, and that's what we want. Lord, I want you to be my good shepherd to lead me. Folks, the reason God puts in Scripture that we are like sheep is that we need a good shepherd. And shepherds do not drive sheep, they lead sheep. Amen. Cattle are driven, sheep are led. We had cows on the farm when I grew up. I had to beat those bad girls to get them to move anywhere. But sheep, you just call them by name and they follow you. Isn't that what God did? He called us by name and we follow him. And he said, he promises, I'm going to lead you and I'm going to guide you. And when a good shepherd leads you, he leads you in the right way. In Psalm 23, when he talks about bringing them to good pastures, a good shepherd will take care of the sheep and he knows where the good grass is. A bad shepherd, and there was bad shepherds, and there's still bad shepherds out there, isn't there? Called colts. But the good shepherd leads you to good feeding beside the still waters. And as the seasons change, they would go further up the mountain where the better grasses were, because down the mountain a little bit, they were drying up. And there wasn't good feeding there. And the good shepherd would know when to move the sheep. We go, I don't want to move. I'm comfortable. I got a rut right here that fits me perfectly. I got a pillow. Come on. And he goes, no, the better feeding is here. And you know what else is cool about sheep? Why he brings them to still water? Because sheep are not the brightest creatures in the world. Which doesn't say much for you and I, does it? Because he calls us sheep. But if they come down to waters that are running hard and fast and just bubbling over, they will drown because they put their whole face in. And if they're still waters, they can keep their nose above and breathe. If the waters are running hard, they will still stick their face in and not realize, I can't breathe. And they'll die. Dumb sheep. Oh, Lord. Amazing how the Lord puts all of Scripture together to just teach us how good he is to us and how much he loves us. We need to be led. And especially in these days that we're in, this pandemic is nothing compared to what's coming. But God is still on the throne, and he still cares for his people. Trust him. So then the seventh thing, we're almost done here. And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes. Oh, can you wait? How many tears have you shed lately? Oh, Lord. So many tears. You know, growing up, it wasn't cool. I'm dating myself, I know. The word cool is not in English anymore. It wasn't cool to cry if you were a guy. Girls always cried. Guys never cried. Till we were away from everybody else and we could. But boy, once I got saved, bawled like a baby. I still do. It's terrible. My wife looks at me and she goes, "You crying again?" Yeah! I try and hide it. Oh, I must be allergic to something. I think I got to go out and get a piece of wood and throw it in the fire. Huh? Got to do something here. But God is going to wipe away those tears, which means He's going to bring the comfort that He's promised and bring it to you. And He collects those tears in a bottle, Scripture says. He knows every tear you shed and why you're shedding it. He knows the pain that you're in. He knows the heartache. He knows the hurt. And we don't need to focus on the hurt or the ones that are bringing it. We need to focus on the one who brings love to us. That's where our focus needs to be. Not on all the junk that's coming against us, but on the love that's coming down from heaven to us. And Jesus came down from heaven. For unto us a child is born. Amen. Us. Unto us a son is given. God says, "I poured out my son for you." Oh, Lord. In this time of year, we just think of, I know, honey, I'm almost done. Sorry. There was a groan that said, "Oh, Lord, please." And Doug is back there going, yep. But God is going to come and He's going to wipe away all those tears. And thank you, Jesus, for it. He loves you. We're going to take communion, so if the worship team would come back up and prepare, and we could prepare our hearts. If you don't have communion, because we're going to take communion, just hold up your hand and Peter will grab one for you if you don't have one. But we get to remember now. That's why we take communion, is to remember. Not so that we can say, "Yeah, I know all about it," but so that we can remember the depths of what God has done for us. And especially this time of year, I think it's just so important for us to realize the price that God paid for us and the wonderful beauty of redemption. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. How awesome is that? God cared that much about you. Sometimes we think God doesn't care about me. He loves somebody else more, don't we? You know, because they got a better car than we do, so God must love them better. Or they got a better family than we do, so God must love them better. How? I even get it from behind and in front. I don't know. But God loved each one of you enough to call you by name and to pay the price for you, because He knew you couldn't pay the price. And we ask, if you're not saved this morning, if you don't know Jesus, that you would hold back from taking communion, because Scripture gives a clear warning against that it's not good. It will just heap condemnation upon us. We don't want that for you. He loves you, we love you. But He paid the price for you. So let's prepare our hearts as we worship and just remember what God has done. And then we'll take communion together.